thing that you always should be thinking, that one day you have to sell your law firm. And here's why. All of us are going to retire one day, and we either retire by design or by default.
And if you start thinking about that, start thinking about, well, if I was an investor, would I invest in my own law firm? Ask yourself that question and get a pretty interesting answer.
You are listening to the Grow Law Firm Podcast, where each guest shares actionable, practical ideas with you on how to get more clients, expand your reach, and grow your law firm's revenue and profit. Here's your host, Sasha Burson.
Hi there. I have a small but really meaningful favor to ask you. You know, I watch At The Stats on our YouTube channel and Spotify channel, wherever most people listen and watch our podcast, and I see that over 80% of everybody who listens to it regularly is not a subscriber. I'm asking you to subscribe to this channel. And the reason for that is my mission and the mission of my team is to help as many small law firm owners to learn how to transform their law firms into better businesses, and so they in turn enjoy better lives. When you hit subscribe button, you tell these platforms that this is content worth listening, worth viewing, and they in turn will show it to many other small law firm owners and hopefully help me fulfill our mission of helping them create a better business and enjoy better lives. So would you please do me this favor? It would mean the world to me. And hit the subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard at creating good content with practical ideas that help you and your teams grow better law firms. Thank you. Welcome to another great episode of Grow Law Firm Podcast. I have an amazing guest here today with me, and his name is Matt Spiegel. Matt Spiegel is a lawyer, a former law firm owner, and a tech entrepreneur in the legal space. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you're the original co-founder of MyCase and presently founder and CEO of Lawmatics. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. Thanks for having me on, Sasha. I appreciate it and happy to talk to everybody. And yeah, as far as my background, I couldn't have said it better myself. That sums it all up.
So it's a very interesting transition from lawyer to a business owner owning a law firm, to transitioning to serving thousands of lawyers. Obviously, everyone has heard of MyCase. Many people who listen to this podcast, I'm sure, have used MyCase. Everybody has heard of Lawmatics, and many of our listeners probably have used Lawmatics. So very successful tech companies in the legal space. What led you to go from a law firm owner to going into the technology space for lawyers?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I know what caused it, but sometimes I look back and say, man, what really put me there? But ultimately, Sasha, this was a scratch my own itch type of experience, right? I think it's a situation that many people who go on to be founders of tech companies, they often experience the same thing that I did. And for me, that was I left a big law firm. I went to start my own law firm, and almost immediately, I had a bar complaint, right? So I had a client complain about my representation, but they weren't actually complaining about my representation. They were complaining about my communication, right? Basically, I didn't call them back quick enough. That's what they were complaining about. Turns out as I dive into this world deeper a few years after that, I start to find out that like that's the number one complaint at every state bar is just attorney-client communication, right? But anyhow, this guy complained, I dealt with it. It was not an issue, but it got me thinking that, man, like this should not be, no one else should experience this. Like there is a lot of easy ways to serve information to our clients so that they know what's going on and they don't need to call their lawyer, at 9 a.m. and then get upset if they don't get a call back until 5. Right. And so that bar complaint ultimately led me to try to solve this problem of attorney-client communication. And that ultimately is how MyCase got started. I was building something for my own law firm, for my own clients' needs, and then realized that, man, I think some other people might want this. And it turned out they did. And then we ended up building, a massive company around it.
So you sold your equity around 2015, 2016. Is that correct?
I originally sold MyCase to a company called AppFolio. in 2012, but I stayed with the business in the, you know, in the capacity of CEO really until we went public at AppFolio in 2015.
It's an amazing story. I mean, it's very rare to find a founder of a company who was able to build and sell within 2 years. And then the company goes public 3 years later. That is a very unusual success. Congrats on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Why did you decide to sell?
We were lucky. Well, yeah, I mean, so the reason why I sold, I think, was, you know, it was, I'd never been an entrepreneur before. Well, I mean, I was an entrepreneur in the sense that I started my own law firm, but I had never been in tech. And, you know, I think it just was, I was trying not to be a greedy person. And, you know, I had an opportunity in front of me that was pretty fortunate. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And I thought to myself, well, I can take chips off the table, right? I can take this windfall right now. And like, maybe I'm not, you know, I had all the confidence in the world, but it was also my first time doing it. So I could have used some help in growing the business, and AppFolio was going to give that to me. So my alternatives were to go out and try to raise money from venture capitalists and do all that. And I knew the road that I was headed down if I tried to do that. And so to me, you know, it was like the right time at the right, it was the right decision at the right time for me, for my family, for everybody. And I was able to hitch my wagon to a company like AppFolio, which is a phenomenal company, and then get to see the whole process of a company growing from, you know, 30, 50, 100 million of revenue to then going public.
You don't mind me asking, what was the top line or the revenue when you sold to them in 2012?
Oh man, it was low. I honestly don't even remember the exact figures, but what I will tell you is that we were still very, very new. We were very, very young, and we had, I want to say that from a recurring revenue standpoint, that maybe we were doing 500 or 600,000 of recurring revenue on an annual basis.
Got it. So still very new.
Very, very new.
Something.
Yeah, but it was growing extremely, extremely fast. Mm-hmm. And we were able to sell it for a pretty extraordinary multiple as well.
Mm-hmm. I find
that was back in 2012. So things are a lot different now.
A lot different 12 years later. I find the subject very interesting. And I think that most lawyers today are not very interested in the subject, but they should be. Because as regulatory changes coming to the legal world, non-lawyers will start buying legal firms.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going
that's
to happen. Right. Understanding that what you have, if you're a small law firm owner, even if it's just a couple of attorneys, it's a business, it's not a practice. If you build enough value in that business, at some point, it will become a sellable asset. And you want that because, and I always like to compare it to the world of medicine. 20, 25, 30 years ago, world of medicine was dominated by private practices. Today, it's dominated by hospitals.
Yep.
I think that private equity in the next 10, 15, 20 years is going to change the legal world dramatically. There will probably be way fewer private practices with like 1, 2, 5 attorneys, and way more of these conglomerates that are owned by private equity and then sold to even larger entities. So for that reason, you, Mr. or Mrs. law firm owner, should really understand when we say things like valuations, how much of recurring revenue you had, all the other things about business, you should be learning these things because what may happen, not necessarily, but what may happen. If you do not study these things now, 10 years from now, you may be left behind. Your competition will sell to those bigger firms. And as they do, they will have much bigger aggregated marketing budgets. You will be scrapping for like little crumbs that they will leave on the table. That's what happened to private practice doctors, so many of them anyway, and that's why so many of them have become hospitalists. I've had the same doctor for 20 years. And then he became a hospitalist. I asked him why, and he said, it's a lot easier to operate. I no longer need to think about where to get patients from. Everything is done for me. I just need to show up to work. So I sold my small practice There were two doctors in that practice and like three people in the support staff, or maybe four people. Sold it to a hospital. Made a lot more sense. That's going to happen to the legal world. I don't know when. Right now it's one state, it's Arizona. Coming, yeah. It's coming. It's going to happen. So you need to understand the business side of things for sure. So now you've started Lomatics about 7 years ago, if my memory serves me right. Help audience understand, there are so many different software that are available to the legal world, and some lawyers, because I know so many of them, I'm sure you know probably a lot more than I do. Some of them still do paper files, mm-hmm. and some of them are power users of platforms like Lomatics and Clio, etc. But I wonder, when people are thinking about buying that software, I think most people really think about, well, it's a software that's going to do X and Y and Z. But us business folks, we think about, is it going to help me increase my revenue,
yeah,
cut my costs, or both? Like, which one is it for Lomatics?
Yeah. Well, so this is what's interesting, right? And like, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head about why we didn't. And actually what you just talked about with the future of law, I think is also a big reason about why I started Lomatics. I'm a lawyer, but I didn't go into, honestly, like I didn't decide about being a lawyer until like my senior, like the second semester of my senior year of college. And my parents were like, we don't want you to do what you were going to do. We want you to go to law school. And I'm like, okay, sounds like fun. Gets me three more years of school.
About what were you going to do?
I was going to go into commercial real estate. And so they sent me into law. And, you know, to me, I was like, all right, well, the law, I'm sure that you can make a good business out of this. And so I decided to practice criminal defense because I thought that criminal defense could be run as a good business. So I was never as interested in the law part of it as I was the business. And the reason why we ended up starting Lawmatics is because lawyers don't do a great job of being a CEO. They do a good job of being a lawyer. But they don't do a good job of running a business and understanding the metrics that are important to running a business. And so I look at all of the tools. One of the coolest things about building a tech company is that you get all these really great tools, right? You get all this great software that helps you do all these amazing things. You get Salesforce and you get HubSpot and you get all these dashboard softwares that like your investors are going to want to look at because they share all the KPIs and the important metrics that your business needs to measure. And so we're looking at that and I'm thinking to myself, this was in like 2015, 2016. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's different about law firms? There's nothing different about law firms. When I look at certain metrics, like I'll go talk to a law firm and say, well, what is your ROI on that marketing campaign? Or what's your cost per lead on that marketing campaign? Or your cost,
no idea.
Your acquisition cost, your cost per client. Do you know that if you're spending any money on marketing and you don't know those numbers, that's the lifeblood of your business. But no lawyer understands what's your conversion rate for each campaign that you're running on Google, right? They don't know. And so I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. We've had these tools to measure our businesses for a decade or more, right? Why don't we have this for law firms? They need to start to think the same way that we do as tech companies. And so that's why we started Lawmatics. And to answer your question about value prop, I've always looked at it as there's two value propositions that you could provide to law firms. I think you mentioned them. You could either save them time, because that's money, right? Or you can increase the bottom line. You can get more clients. But at the end of the day, almost every service and software that has been designed for law firms, it does one of those two things. It either saves you time or it gets you more clients. Lawmatics is one of those rare products that it's designed to actually deliver both value propositions, right? Save you an exorbitant amount of time, but also help you get more clients by understanding, well, this is my conversion rate. If I can use automated tools to increase my conversion rate, well, that means I'm getting more clients. That means more bottom line. If I understand I'm spending $1,000 a month on this marketing campaign and I'm spending $100,000 a month on this marketing campaign, but I'm getting 10 customers from the $1,000 campaign and two customers from the $100,000 campaign, well, guess what? Now you save the boatload of money because you don't need to spend $100,000 on that marketing campaign anymore, right? So just giving them the full picture and understanding on what's happening in their business, they don't have right now.
It's an amazing value proposition. Right before this meeting, I met with Chris Dreyer, who is another marketing leader, absolute leader in this space. And we talked about how lawyers are incredibly smart people, but the business acumen is sorely lacking in most instances. Very high legal acumen, very poor business acumen, leads to mediocre or sub-mediocre results.
Yeah.
There are some notable exceptions, maybe 3-5% of the entire field. Ladies and gentlemen who really understand the business side, and they're usually not practicing lawyers. They're business operators. They're the CEOs of their law firms. And because they do not practice law, they have the time to actually look at those numbers and make their operations better. For most practicing attorneys, I find that they just, they're so ingrained in the day-to-day of working with clients, even doing intake in smaller law firms, doing everything that the lawyer is supposed to do. And I'm like, listen, what do you think you're getting per hour? And often that number, it looks in a lot more inflated than it actually is. Because when you look at like 40, 45 hour work week and an average income of roughly for private practitioners, let's say it's about 200,000. It's actually probably less than that, but let's say it's 200,000. All right, so you put in 2,000 hours and you get 200 grand. Well, that's $100 per hour.
Yep.
Or you can be the CEO of your law firm, get it to about $5 million in revenue, pay yourself 400 grand for managing the firm, and take another $1 million in net profit pre-tax. That's 1.4 million, same 2,000 hours. Mm-hmm. But now you're making $700 per hour. What do you choose? When I run this by various law firm owners, they just like, the numbers make sense, and then they go back to making $100 an hour.
Yeah.
Because that's where the comfort zone is.
Yep. Yeah, because you're asking people to do something that they don't have experience doing, and they don't have the wherewithal to do it, right? And so
do you have a learning system that comes with Lomatic where people can actually like sharpen their business acumen so that they understand
this? I think it comes like I think it comes with using a product like Lomatic's, right? And mm-hmm. and the reason why I say that is because it forces you to think about things that you're probably not thinking about now as a lawyer, right? I mean, and if you use a product like Lomatic's and then you don't think about it, then it means you're not using the product the right way, right? But it forces you, it's gonna put it front and center, right? And when you set up a product like Lomatic's, and there's other CRMs out there, right? But like when you set a product like that up, you know, like what we have is we have a team that's gonna help you do that. And they're gonna start asking questions that are designed to help you set up the platform, but they also have an effect of making you think about things that you probably haven't thought about and just mm-hmm. start to think about your business in an entirely different way. And that sort of enlightening, I think, causes people to do what you're talking about, right? Which is learn about some of the things that they're not doing that they should be doing, help them get out of their comfort zone a little bit and have that sort of that mattress to land on when they do step outside, because there's a platform that's going to help them do it. And this is all that it's designed to do. And the interesting thing, you know, like, look, I've worked with, you know, and my companies have helped somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 50,000 law firms over the last,
wow.
Right over the last, you know, 12 years, right. Or 13 years, I guess. I've seen the shift. Like, this is happening now. Like the idea of a product like Lawmatics helping lawyers think more like a business, it wouldn't have been successful 8 years ago or 10 years ago. It wouldn't have worked. Lawyers weren't there, right? But they're there now. Their mindset, they want to do this, right? Like you're saying, you'll talk to these lawyers and they, wow, the numbers make sense. I want to do that, right? The desire is there, but the effectuation is not quite there yet, right? And that's where I think, you know, software like us, people like you, people that are out there actually helping facilitate them getting where they want to go, it's really a good time for that.
Yeah, I think also the timing is such that if you do not do this now, you're already left behind.
You're left behind.
But you're already behind.
Yeah.
Like if you don't do this now, in 5 years, you're going to be in a world of pain. And the reason for that is I get to talk with a lot of lawyers, and the percentage of them are shifting from being a lawyer in their law firm to being a CEO in their law firm. And they are thinking about how to optimize every single business process because they understand that soon enough, with AI in place and with so many online companies that are now competing for the same dollars as law firms do, there's a lot of automation. You can go and get yourself an estate plan online in under an hour. Costs $600. Right, so you're going to be competing with those technology companies. You need to make your operations as profitable and as efficient as possible before that storm turns into a big snowball and hits you so hard, buries you, and you will be unable to recover. Just like so many healthcare private practices, they were unable to recover from that snowball effect that the large hospital networks had on them. They couldn't sustain anymore. So I always think about it. If that change comes and just sweeps up your state, you better be in a position, either very strong position where you're like, hey, I'll survive. So many of the smaller guys will fold. Or maybe I don't want to survive. Maybe I do want to sell because it's a very lucrative opportunity. Either way, it's a lot better than being in a position where you're just shit out of luck.
Yeah, there's going to be consolidation. Look, when you have this, when you open the door to non-lawyers being able to own law firms or invest in law firms, you're going to have these like private equity style groups that are going to go out there and consolidate law firms. They're going to go and buy law firms, right? Law firms that they think they can just put that client base together and just now, and then uniform systems, right? To get like benefits from scale. And what type of companies do you think they're going to look at? What type of companies do you think they're going to invest in? Are they going to, if I'm looking to go, you know, invest in a law firm or buy a law firm, am I going to, and I have got two, you know, personal injury practices out there. And one of them, you know, relies on all their referrals and it's like a good business. It's been around for a long time and it's got a steady stream. They don't kind of know, they don't really have much sophisticated system. They don't know where it's coming from. Or I've got this other personal injury firm that's spending money on X, Y, and Z marketing. They know exactly where that, like where each dollar is going and what's coming out from every dollar, right? Which one am I going to go with? I'm going to go with that one because I know that I can scale that one, right? I can invest more money into that and I know exactly what's going to come out of it on the back end. Whereas this other sort of, let's call it a more mom and pop type of law firm that doesn't have these, that's just really relying on their results, right? From their practice to bring in new clients, new prospects. That's not scalable to me. I can't predict that. I can't, you know, I can't invest in that. And if you start thinking about that, start thinking about, well, if I was an investor, would I invest in my own law firm? And I think that understanding that, like, right, understanding that, like, my goal as an investor is going to probably be to get a pretty significant return, maybe 3-5x my money in 3 or 5 years. Well, would I want to buy your law firm? Right? Like, ask yourself that question and get a pretty interesting answer.
Yeah. And to add to that, think about, as you listen to this, think about what it is that you would want to get for your law firm if you were to sell it today. And now think to yourself, would you pay that price? Because most business owners in their heads think that their business is a lot more valuable than it actually is. But putting yourself on the buyer's side of the equation, you're all of a sudden like, well, I want to sell it for $2 million. Okay, if I'm a buyer, would I pay $2 million for this thing? If yes, what am I buying? And typically a buyer buys two things. One is profit and systems. Well, three things, profit and systems. And the third one, the most important, was an opportunity to grow. If there's no opportunity to grow, then you don't buy it. And here's an interesting fact. Most private equity companies will not buy a small business that produces less than $2 million EBITDA. Your pre-tax profit, and if you have some outstanding loans, they will take out interest payments from that, taxes, et cetera. But most service businesses, to get $2 million EBITDA, you need to be at about $10 million in revenue. And according to another somewhat famous industry insider, he told me that it's like 0.4% of the entire industry, legal industry, reaches $10 million in revenue. Yep. So if you don't get there, you're probably not going to have a highly valuable sellable business. Might you still be able to sell it if you have $1 million in EBITDA,
$500,000 EBITDA? Maybe.
Yep. And look, no one's telling, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of, like, look, you don't have to sell your law firm either, right? Like, it's not that you have to sell. It's more the idea of looking at it through that lens. Because if you do look at it through that lens, I think it helps you understand where you might have some downfall, you know, some pitfalls right now, and where you might need to focus, right, your attention.
I kind of disagree with you there, and here's why. So I think that you always should be thinking that one day you have to sell your law firm, and here's why. Mm-hmm. All of us are going to retire one day, and we either retire by design or by default. By design, you set a target for how much you're going to get in your retirement funds, or by default, well, I'm old or sick or tired, and now I have to get rid of it, and maybe there is no one who is there to buy it because it's worthless.
Yeah. Like,
all solo practices are
worthless.
You're
absolutely right. There's
nothing to buy.
Think about it that way, 100%. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I've seen a number of times youngish people, a serious health issue puts an end to their career, puts an end to their business. Because if it's a solo practice, or if it seems like a partnership because there are two, three partners, but in reality it's just a cost sharing arrangement. They share the same office. There's nothing really partner-like about that. They think that there is a business, but then once you ask them, like, well, why would someone buy it? And they're like, I have a job. I have a job in this thing that they call my law firm, but in reality. Anyway, we can talk about this forever. I think it's such an amazing, amazing topic. But here's what it comes down to. Build your business systems. Get an amazing software like Lawmatics. See how it works for your business. Focus on the business side of things, not practicing law, because the truth of the matter is focusing on the business will have a much greater payoff than focusing on law. And in time, that business will take care of you and your family, and possibly even create a legacy, financial legacy, after you're gone. It's quite possible.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Great conversation. Matt, the name of the firm, obviously, Lawmatics. Lawmatics.com, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Go check it out. Is there any type of special offer, like a good starting place when you get on the website?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, our whole thing is we want you to come. We want you to sit down with one of our specialists. Not necessarily just to see what the software can do, but to understand a little bit about, I could tell you everybody who takes a, I'll call it a demo, but it's more like a consultation. But as a law firm, when you sit down with us, with our team, whether you end up buying the software or not, you're going to get something. You're going to get something that will help your business. And it will go towards the stuff that you and I were talking about today, Sasha. Like it will make your business more valuable. Just some of the nuggets that you're going to get, because you're going to hear what's working for other law firms, right? Like we work with thousands of law firms, and all these law firms are making more money, right? Like that's what they're doing. They're growing their business. And I could share with you staggering numbers about the increase in revenue from the firms that use Lawmatics, right? So we know what works for these firms. We've seen it thousands of times. And so we share best practices, right? We share like, well, you're not doing this. You should be doing this. Whether you do it with us or not, doesn't matter. You're going to know about it. It's really, really important. You know, like we've kind of touched on it, and it's something I always say anytime I'm really talking to lawyers, but you know, just being a good lawyer is not good enough anymore. Like you could be a great lawyer, 100%. But if you don't do the other things, you're not going to have a great business. And the vice versa is true. You could be a mediocre lawyer as far as the results that you get, but you could have a very, very successful business, right? It's not
which one would you rather have?
A good lawyer. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which one would you rather have? I think
that's right.
What an amazing insight. Matt Spiegel, Lawmatics. Matt, thank you so much for sharing all the great insights.
Yeah, Sasha, thank you again for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast. If you liked the ideas shared in this episode, help a fellow lawyer out by sharing a link to the episode. This episode is powered by the team of experts in client attraction, growlawfirm.com. Do you want a complimentary growth plan for your law firm? Request it at growlawfirm.com/blueprint.